Chapter 17.
Do you really think Henry is the killer? Ruth asked as she pushed open the door to Sugar Daddy's and gestured for the others to enter.
Inside the shop, the sweet smell of baking spiced the air. It was a small place with a black and white tile floor and gleaming pastry cases. It was clean, but there were no cafe tables to sit at and enjoy your purchase. Lexi felt selfishly happy about that. Not that she was in competition with Sugar Daddy's, as it was a few towns over. But she liked to think the cup and cake was on par or better than the others in the area.
I'm not convinced on that, Nan said. The clues do seem to be pointing to him, and he has lied a few times. I just can't help but feel that if we can find out who bought the muffins, that will either clear him or seal his fate.
Henry said the killer brought the muffins. That might have been a clever tactic because, at first glance, it makes it sound like the killer was a visitor who brought muffins. But if Henry is the killer and he brought the muffins, it's not actually a lie, Helen said.
But Henry is already in jail, so isn't it kind of anticlimactic to prove he's the killer?
Ida asked.
Maybe, but at least we'll have tied the case up better than the police, Helen said.
And we need proof to give to Muriel.
Nan's eyes softened with sympathy for Muriel, and Lexi could imagine that if she were ever accused of anything, Nan's would defend her to the end. That's what Muriel was doing for her grandchild.
It will be hard for her. But if Henry is the killer, she needs to have concrete evidence in order to accept it.
I guess I would need to see that if it were my grandson being accused, Ruth said.
But what does all this have to do with the missing drugs and the heist? Helen asked. There's still a tie-in with the Blondinis.
Nance nodded.
That's likely, but I suppose only Henry, or the killer, can answer that.
A lot hinges on figuring out who brought the muffins, Ruth said.
But it's very unlikely that someone would remember that purchase, unless the buyer was a regular that the bakery staff knew personally. Lexi had dozens of customers that she knew personally. But if someone had only come in a few times or just once, she wouldn't remember what they bought or what they looked like. Hopefully, the corn muffin buyer came frequently enough so as to be recognizable.
Even if the bakery staff does remember who bought the muffins, how do we prove that person is the killer?
Ruth asked as they stood in front of one of the cases. She had a point.
Just proving someone bought muffins that were at the scene of the crime wasn't necessarily concrete evidence. The police would laugh them out of the station if they ever tried to insist the purchase of the muffins proved someone was a killer.
But Lexi had an idea as to how it could help. The sales system at the Cup and Cake records the items purchased and the time and date. If the killer used a credit card, their name would be linked, too. Maybe we could use that time and date to prove that Henry, or whoever the killer is, had time to drive from here to the apartment and kill Rosa. Nans nodded.
If there are CCTV cameras along the route, we might be able to tie that in.
Nice try, but this bakery doesn't have that kind of system.
Ruth pointed to an old cash register, and Lexi's hopes plummeted. She used to have the same system, and it only recorded the financial transaction and the time, not the item that was purchased.
Darn, Nan said.
Look at how thick the chocolate is on those biscotti. Lexi, you need to get on the ball with that.
Ida tapped on the bakery glass, behind which sat a tray with several rows of golden biscotti, one end thickly coated with shiny dark chocolate.
Lexi frowned. Ida was right. That biscotti did have more chocolate. She made a mental note to see if she could up her game in that department.
Lexi's biscotti are very nice. Every bakery has things that they excel at. But this one doesn't have cupcake tops at all.
Helen's words placated Lexi. Cupcake tops were a unique and popular item in her bakery, with people that wanted more frosting and less cake.
And the cookies here are smaller, Ruth whispered.
Lexi knew the ladies were trying to make her feel better about Ida's observation on the chocolate coating of the biscotti.
But where are the muffins?
Nance glanced around the shop. Just as someone dressed in a white baker's shirt and puffy baker's hat came out with a tray of freshly baked muffins. Ida gasped. Helen choked. Ruth snorted.
Eureka!
Nans yelled, much to the surprise of the baker. Sitting on the tray was a dozen golden yellow corn muffins, and the tops were loaded with sparkling crystals of sugar.
You must really love muffins, the baker said to Nans.
She was a pleasant-looking middle-aged woman with turquoise-rimmed glasses and curly gray hair sticking out from under her baker's hat in unruly curls.
We do, especially the corn muffins with sugar crystals on top. You don't see those every day.
Nan stood on tiptoes to see the tops of the muffins, and the baker lowered the tray so she could get a better look. The baker smiled proudly at her muffins.
It's an original idea. I started making them a few months ago.
Are they popular? Ruth asked.
The baker frowned.
Well, they haven't quite caught on yet, but they will.
But some people must buy them,
Nans gestured to the tray.
Otherwise, you wouldn't keep making them.
Oh, some people do.
The baker slid the glass doors on a case and started rearranging things to put the muffins in.
I suppose you remember the customers that bought these, especially since they are so unusual,
Ruth said. The baker glanced up through the glass.
I try to remember all my customers, but I suppose I do know the repeat corn muffin buyers.
Nans waited for her to put the last muffin in the case, then asked,
Is one of the buyers a man in his early 30s, with glasses and dark brown hair and a thin mustache?
The baker looked thoughtful.
Let me see. There's Mrs. Massarelli from down the street. She's about 90 if she's a day, but still spry. Then there's a pleasant young man with a man bun. Does your guy wear a man bun?
Nan shook her head.
The baker shrugged.
Well, then, I don't recall a pencil mustache man. And the rest are all women. Men tend to shy away from the crystal sugar-topped items.
Lexi nodded in agreement. She'd noticed the same thing in her bakery, and it was probably because men didn't have the same sweet tooth as women. In general, they tended to go for the less sugary items, like hermits. But there was always an exception. She supposed that Henry would stand out as one of those exceptions, and thus the baker would remember him. Did that mean that Henry wasn't the killer? Or did more than one bakery sell these corn muffins?
Helen stepped up to the counter.
What about an older man with arthritis in his hands?
The baker shook her head.
Nope, don't remember him. Darn.
Helen stepped away and perused the bakery case, apparently disappointed that her description of Mario Blondini didn't strike a chord.
So, what can I get you? The baker asked.
I'll have one of those corn muffins. Ida nodded at the muffins she'd just placed in the case. Want to see what all the fuss is about?
I'll have an eclair, Ruth said.
Me too, Nans added.
Nothing for me.
Helen patted her stomach.
Trying to watch my weight.
At least you aren't cutting out carbs like before,
Ruth said. You were hard to live with.
Helen scowled at Ruth.
I was not.
Were too.
Nan and Ida said in unison. Helen smiled. Well, maybe I was a little.
Lexi also declined to order for the same reason, and they left with their purchases.
Out on the street, Ida reached into her sky blue bag. Lexi only had white bags at her bakery, but this one was pretty. Maybe she would get pink with her simple cup and cake logo stamped on the top, similar to the simple B logo stamped on the bag Ida was holding. Ida pulled out the corn muffin and took a bite.
This thing's not bad. Too bad the baker didn't recognize any of our suspects.
That is disappointing.
Nance pulled her eclair out of her bag, holding it carefully so as not to smudge chocolate all over her fingers.
Maybe we should show her a picture of Henry to be certain.
And Mario, Helen piped up.
She said only the man bun guy and women bought the muffins, Helen.
Ruth gave Helen a sideways glance.
You might have to admit that Mario is innocent.
Henry or Mario could have had a woman buy them for him, Ida suggested as she crunched on a sugar crystal.
You mean so that the police couldn't trace it, and he could use the muffin to throw them off track?
Ruth considered this as she chewed on her eclair.
That would be something a strategist like Henry would do.
Indeed, Nance agreed. But either way, we need more proof.
Henry would have known how to puncture Rosa's carotid artery with a butter knife. He really has no alibi, and he's a good strategist. He has at least one motive, the life insurance money, but might even have another if her death had something to do with the heist. Of course, we can't prove he bought the muffins, so that's disappointing.
What if Henry really is the mastermind behind the heist, and Rosa wasn't involved?
Maybe she found out and threatened to tell, Ida said.
That would be an additional motive, Nance agreed.
Or maybe Rosa was involved and Henry wasn't, and when he found out, he killed her in anger, Ruth said.
Not as strong of a motive.
Nance finished the last of her eclair and wiped the chocolate off her fingertips with a napkin. Ruth sighed.
Right, well, I suppose we're back to square one. Two steps forward and one step back.
Not necessarily.
Helen had stopped in front of a grimy storefront about 50 feet back, and they all turned at the sound of her voice.
Why do you say that?
Nance asked.
And what are you looking in there for? Are you thinking about getting a tattoo?
Ruth asked.
Helen for president would look great on your bicep,
Ida joked. Helen turned and gave Ida a sour look.
If you must know, I think I might be on to something here.
She pointed to the window.
Look.
They gathered around Helen, and Lexi squinted at the section Helen was pointing to, where a large piece of paper had samples of the tattoo artist's work. Smack dab in the middle was a sample of a very detailed snake tattoo, in vibrant greens, reds, and blacks, winding around an arm. Nance turned toward the group.
Well, ladies, looks like Helen just found our next clue.